Okay, now. Got me now? Okay. And we're trying a different mic right now. This is called an area mic. So it's going to, just like whenever I talk, it should pick up what I say. And that way you shouldn't be dropping out on us and shouldn't be doing any of that, you know, when you breathe off into it or anything like that. If you can't hear, let me know. Okay? So I know we got down all the way to Cain and Abel. I think we got all the way to 5 last week. I think we're starting at 5:1 this week. And that's because that's where we're going to start. I think that's where it was. So we're going to do that. Now, we're getting to the boring area. It's boring, right? Wait a second. Oh, why do we even need to know the genealogies? Okay. Yes, sir? Where did I stop at? Somebody tell me. Oh, that's what I did. Lamech. I did. Yeah, I think I got all the. I know I got down to Lamech and everything like that, and I talked about the sevenfold and 70-fold. So, yeah, probably where I didn't get. I probably stopped off at 25. That sounds about right. It's kind of the beginning of what of my next thing. So I guess we'll start in there then. I'm good with that. And it's 420 size. It says Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son called Seth. For she said, God has appointed me another offspring instead of Abel, for Cain killed him. You realize that Abe thought that this offspring, this Seth, was supposed to be this savior, what was supplied by God to take and stomp out the hill, right? But she was a little off because God had other things going on. God was talking. When he says the seed of the woman, is he talking about Cain or Abel or Seth or any of these people? I mean, Abel, I said Seth a while ago. No, he's talking about the seed that's going to come, the Lord Jesus Christ. The problem with Cain and Abel and Seth is because they not only come from the seed of the woman, where did they come from? They come from Adam. And what's Adam's problem? Sin. He's got this sin nature that flows through the male side. Women was tricked, right? Y'all were deceived. Man walked into it, open-eyed, willfully disobeying what God had told us to do. So, the sin lies within the male part of the seed. So, and you can't really blame it on Eve. She was looking for the best thing out of it. She's like, yeah, God's going to get this to me. Not understanding the plan that he already set forth. And understand, he set this plan in forth when? He said this plan was before anything was ever thought of. He had this plan in him before the beginning. Ain't that amazing? Why would God do that? One of these days, hopefully, we'll ask him, God, why did you work with this troublesome generation that we always were? He has such a love for us. It's amazing that he would put up with us. So he knew his wife again and bore her a son and called his name Seth, for she said, God has appointed me another offspring instead of Abel, for Cain killed him. To Seth also a son was born. His name was Enosh. And at that time, the people began to call upon the Lord. They weren't calling upon the Lord before then. And it says, time people began to call upon the Lord. It didn't say that Adam and Eve and Seth and Cain called upon the Lord. What does it say? The people denotes what? A plurality of existence, right? So don't think that during this time that Adam and Eve were stagnant. Understand that whenever somebody says, where does Cain's wife come from? There were men and women being born all throughout this time.
No, it wasn't stagnant. Just God doesn't tell us every iota of detail that goes on to things. He tells us what we need to understand. So now we're going to jump into the genealogies. If anybody got anything else right there, we'll talk about it. If not, we'll jump into the genealogies. And I said boring because, you know, so-and-so begot so-and-so, and so-and-so begot so-and-so, and so-and-so begot so-and-so. Kind of a boring kind of thing to talk about, is it not? Very important also, is it? Why? Well, one thing is it allows us to take, I think a little bit whiny. Okay, it allows us to take and trace the genealogy of the Lord Jesus all the way back. Not really Adam. Is that important? It justifies to people's understanding exactly who the Messiah was. And he has that credentials to be able to claim who he was. You understand, in Jewish life, it was all about the credentials, right? We have political systems now. When I was growing up, if your name was a Kennedy, you were like USA royalty. Okay? We have individuals in the government right now that think they're royalty because they think they can get away with anything they want to, and that's the most I want to say about our politics. But we see it, right? The name carries something. If your name is Trump, you're thought of higher. If your name is Biden, you're thought. If your name is Obama, you're thought. You're a higher. You're in the higher echelon of our understanding of people. You're in a higher class, right? Well, in the United States, we don't believe in classes, but we do believe in classes. I'm not talking about the ones you go to and learn. So. But in the genealogies, especially in Jewish culture, it was very important to know these genealogies and be able to trace back. My father was so-and-so, and so his father was so-and-so, and his father was so-and-so. They could take you back generations of generations. And it's very important. So these are the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. In other words, he didn't make him just like God. It was in the likeness, okay? So when you see man and see his attributes, you see some of the attributes of God within man. It's a likeness. It's not, we are not on the same level in any means. But God made man more like him than any other creature out there, which is very important. Understand that we are more like God than the angels are. The angels weren't making the likeness of God, were they? My Bible doesn't tell me that. Maybe they were. I'm not going there. You look like you want to say something, Mike. Okay. So, we were created in the likeness of God. Male and female, he created them and blessed them and named them man when they were created. When Adam was 130 years old, he fathered his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. Now, it says that, understand that God made us, it was made in God's image, right? But when God made Seth, whose image? Huh? Adam's image. Man's image. What's an important part right there? Why could Seth not be in God's image at that particular time? He's carrying that sin nature, is he not? When we're born in trespasses and sin, are we not? We're born sinful creatures. We look at a baby and say, oh, how cute. Such an angel. Until they decide that they want something. You ever had a baby with colic at 2 o'clock in the morning and don't have any colic medicine? Some things come across your mind that you couldn't come across. One time, T TJ, when he was just a youngster, we moved out to North Carolina, and that baby had colic one night. Amy bounced up and down with him, and I got up with him, sat up for a couple hours with him. You know, colic. And they, it's like it's just on and on. And I finally went over to Amy and said, you've got to take him. I'm going to go. It's just like it gets to a point how it grinds on you. You understand what I'm saying, right? But they're angels. They're so innocent. Understand that none of us are born. And they don't come with an owner's manual, do they? If they did, it comes in a different language. I can't understand. Anyway, the same thing for y'all women. Same thing for y'all's ladies too, by the way. Yeah, but when you're in a Marine Corps base in North Carolina and everything like that, it's a little bit different situation. The next day, we had colic medicine. It's amazing how you gain stuff up. And when we had Eric, we had all that stuff handy. Yeah, you know how much you learn with the first one? Anyway, Adam was 130 years. He fathered a son after his own likeness. And, after his image, and named him Seth. The days of Adam, after he fathered Seth, was 800 years. That means Adam lived to be 930 years old, right? Right? Pretty old, right? Can you imagine living 930 years? Can you imagine walking in this old body for 930 years? That tells you how perfect their bodies was and their environment was compared to ours. The degradation of what has happened to humanity and the world over these period of some 6,000 years. It must have been a total different place, because after the flood, we know that the world was disruptive after the flood. We'll get to that later on. But understand that they're not living in the same world we live in, too. And they're the degradation of their body. Sin is like a cancer. It's there. That cancer cell's there. But the longer it takes there, the longer it metastasizes, the worse it gets, right? Sin has been eating up this whole existence for some 6,000 years. God's allowed it to fester. So, 800 years. That means he was 930 years old. And all thus the days of Adam were 930 years, and he died. When Seth lived 105 years, he fathered Enosh. Seth lived another 807 years, and he had sons and daughters. The days of Seth were 912 years. 912 years. Not as old as Adam, but still on up there, right? Didn't hit the century mark. I mean, wouldn't it be a century? It'd be like a decade, right? No, would it be a century? Yeah, it didn't hit the century mark. Well, we're lucky we hit the decade mark, aren't we? Those decades, 10 years. What's 100 years? No, 100 years. I don't know what 1,000 is. What 1,000 is? Anybody know? Is that a millennium? Okay. The millennium mark. Okay. Now we get that straight, because I don't want us to be wrong in anything. Millennium mark. He didn't quite hit it, did he? And nobody really does. And that's and Enosh was 90 years old, and he fathered Kenan. Enosh lived 815 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enosh were 905 years. He died. And Kenan lived 70 years, and he fathered Mahalalel. Kenan lived after he fathered Mahalalel 840 years. He has sons and daughters, and thus all the days of Kenan's life was 910 years. Okay, like you can see a pattern going on here, right? They take and they get born, they live a while, 70 to 130 years. They have a child, then they have many other child, They live to be around 900 years old, and then what happens? They die. When Mahalalel lived 65 years, he fathered Jared. Mahalalel lived, after he fathered Jared, 830 years, and had sons and daughters, and thus Mahalalel's life was 895 years old, and he what? He died. Pattern continues, right? Jared lived 162 years. Boy, he was an old one when he fathered Enoch, wasn't he? 162 years, I couldn't imagine that. But when he lived 162 years, he fathered Enoch. Jared lived after Enoch 800 years, so he lived 962 years. Well, there's a grand old man, isn't he? 962 years, and he died. Same pattern, right? When Enoch lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he followed Methuselah 300 years. And he had other sons and daughters. Wait a second. He walked with God. There's something new happening here, isn't there? Has God said to any of the rest of these walked with God? What did he say early on in the beginning? What else was it? Chapter... No, I think it's the last chapter. Let me see. Double check back on that. What does it say in 4:26? Somebody read that for me. They called upon the name of the Lord. And they started that when Seth's son was born. And they called him Enosh, right? Now, we go up here to Enoch, and he took and lived 65 years. He fathered Methuselah. Hope I'm saying that right. Methuselah, there we go. Okay. I'm glad y'all keep it straight on that one. If I say a name wrong, please correct me. These names are some of the hardest things that I have to run through. Methuselah, for 300 years, then he got other sons and daughters. So he continued to have sons and daughters. Thus were the days of Enoch 365 years. Still a young man, right? He's only 365 years old. That's a young man. Not in our days, but back here it was. He wasn't even in middle age yet, because most of these people lived to be 900 years, right? He was an early adulthood. So he lived 359, but he did something. He said he walked with God. Now earlier they said man began to call upon the name of God. But what's the emphasis given here that he walked? Come on, somebody teach me. Fellowship. Walk together like God did with Adam. I think the idea here is that Enoch had this heart to please God in everything he did. Have a, like I said, a fellowship or a walk. When it says walk, it means how you. Obedience, attempting to obey in everything he did. He had this heart right to take and please God in everything he did. Nobody to this point has had that kind of right heart. So he walked with God. He endeavored to please God in everything he did. And he was 365 years old. It says Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Wait a second. There's something missing in the program here. What happened to Enoch? Everybody else had used this. There was a term that happened to them at the end of their lives. And what was that? They died. Does this say that Enoch died here? God did something special to Enoch. He never died. He pulled him out of existence. And put him in a special place. Why? Because he walked with God. Did everything in his life after Methuselah was born. God. He had such a relationship with God. And some people think that it's Enoch and they're the two, he's one of the two prophets in the end of time. Right back. Told him that a while back. So this Enoch, something special happened with him. He walked with God, and God pulled him out of existence to do with him as he plans. Why? Ask God. God has ultimate authority. He can do whatever he wants to with his creation, right? But would it be a bad thing for us to try to emulate that? We don't. Okay. So now Enoch was a special thing. God took him. He never died. Never died. He said Methuselah was 187 years old. He fathered Lamech. And Methuselah lived 782 years after he had sons and daughters, and he lived 969 years old. Almost hit the millennium. Almost. Didn't quite get there. And he died. If just for y'all's information, I think y'all probably all know this. Know this dude in the Bible. Exception of the Lord Jesus. He's the oldest guy in the Bible, the oldest man ever born in the Bible up to that time. They said when Lamech had lived 182 years, he fathered a son, and the son, and he called the name Noah, saying, out of the ground, thus all the days of Methuselah was 969 years. He died. When Lamech was 182 years old, he fathered a son and called his name Noah, saying, out of the ground that the Lord hath cursed, this one shall bring relief from our work, from the painful toil of our hands. Almost like it's a prophecy, right? He said, Noah's going to be this special thing. And he kind of gives a dissertation of what he thinks Noah is. He says, I'm going to call him Noah because this is what I feel. Imagine that God maybe is reaching down and putting prophecy into this man. Lamech lived not 595 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Lamech were 777 years. Some people would say that was a special number. But I'm not into Bible biblical numerology. There's some stuff in that. But anyway, he's died at 777 years, and he died. And then Noah was 500 years old, and he fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth. 500 years old, and he fathered Japheth. Old man at that time. Now, come up to this guy named Noah. Understand, he's following along this line. And Noah was, and we'll talk a little bit about Noah in a minute. But first off, let's take an. I want to. Can you bring on our screen up there? Is it on? Okay. Okay. Adam created way back over here, right? Seth was born. Adam's still around, right? Look, Enosh was born in 235. Adam. Then Heliob on 395. Guess who's still alive? All the still there. Look here. Adam dies in 930. You understand that Lamech, who was going to have Noah, actually was, Adam was still alive when that man was. How do they see how the longevity, how we're learning? Think that these men over here knew Adam as guess what? Noah
what's our perspective? 70 years? 75 years? I worry about today's generation. Nobody wants to have kids. Amazing how we're going to replenish the earth. But people say there's too many things on earth anyway. Yeah, like Beverly said, these are only the genealogies that we cover. There are many other people alive. In other words, it said that after they had these children, they went ahead and had sons and daughters. So understand that we're just looking at one genealogy. Because man is supposed to fill the earth. And we're going to come into something a little later on here, and I think we're fixing to get off into it. I've still got a little bit of time. But understand, why is genealogy important? One, it takes him, it goes all the way back, and it shows the path all the way back to Adam before Jesus, or actually before Jesus. Adam was the first man, right? Okay. Adam brought the curse on to man. Another reason here too. If you believe this genealogy, this verse cannot be billions of years old. If you believe in the genealogies, the universe cannot be billions of years old. If God meant a year here, it has to be consistent. Thus, for us Christians that believe the Bible is completely true, the earth can only be some 6,000 plus years old. Not billions of years old, which the atheists, they say, well, take enough stuff and you put it in a place for enough period of time and you shake it up just right, life is going to pop. Something comes from nothing. They can't prove it. They can't prove it. And let me ask you a question. What do we teach inside of our high schools nowadays? We teach... We teach the genealogy. We teach billions and billions of years. We teach the survival of the finish. We teach that there was a big bang. Everything popped into existence. Everything was set up. Then over millions and millions of years, there was this protoplasm that came into some kind of existence and come to life. And then you crawled out of the ocean, and then the ocean people switched to, the ocean animals switched to being land animals. Called evolution, right? Called evolution. And we teach a scientific fact. But we teach a scientific fact in our schools, do we not? Even though it is just a theory, because why? What does science say? How do you guarantee science is true? That'd be reputable you have to be able to demonstrate. You have to be demonstrable. You can't demonstrate it, you can't prove it to be true. If you can't continue.
continue to do the experiment over and over, you can't prove that it's happened. But in order to take and put forward their hypothesis, in order to make it their fact, they have to take and destroy what's written in this book. And understand, if you don't trust that the genealogies are true, if you say, well, they couldn't keep good records back then, that must be wrong. How do you trust that the Lord Jesus died on that cross for you? If this is wrong, how do you trust the end of the book? And either all has to be right, or any of it could be wrong. Now, I'm not saying we understand it perfectly. What I'm saying is that you have to trust this fact, which makes the genealogy very important, because you can trace years back to genealogies. And it's a way that people have used to date things over past centuries. People say, well, how can you trust the book is true because nobody lived there? Yeah. Okay, you ask them this. How do you know Abraham Lincoln died later with a bullet to his head? Have video evidence? Have eyewitness people still alive? We have to read that out of a book too, right? How do we know that the United States was... the Constitution was written in, or the United States declared their independence back in 1776. Was anybody there? We believe all these times. We'll read in a book, and if we agree with it, it becomes fact. But people read into this, and it disagrees with what they assume is going on. Darwin's theory of evolution, the survival of the fittest out here. And this book that's been around a lot longer than Darwin's theories must be wrong, because why? Send our kids to schools, and we send our kids to college. And if they take and they disagree with it, their professors give them failing grades. Our colleges used to be somewhere where you could take and you could go and get differences of opinion. It's not that way anymore. And we're throwing our kids to the wolves. So our kids need to be grounding this early on, trusting at this point. Because they're going to go out there and they're going to face a world that wants everything out here, everything written in this Bible, to be objective. Objective to what? Objective to whatever they take and lose your faith in what the Bible says. Understand, one part of this book is wrong. That calls into doubt. It causes doubt. Must support the Bible as being 100% right all the time. That doesn't mean we understand it. That doesn't mean that our understanding time frames. You know, coach comes up to the thing saying, well, you know, I think that these people are all living during this particular time. And you're not asking for too much for somebody to know their ancestry, especially if they're living now. Because they would have lived. Understand that Adam died in 930. That means Lamech knew Adam. Because he was alive some 56 years of that man's life. He probably knew Adam. God preserves it. And like I said, that is, yes, sir, I can understand that. That's true. You know, those are interesting things. It sets our mind to wondering. I completely agree with what you said about that. You know, do we know that they lived in the same geographical area? I can say that no, the Bible doesn't tell us where they lived together. In my mind, they do. But again, that's where something I can read off into, and I can say, well, I think Adam knew this guy over here. And I'm making assumptions there, and I appreciate you bringing that out, because that is an assumption on my part. No, it's a complete valid assumption. You know, and yeah, you know, like I said, they could have been in different geological areas. I completely understand that, and I could be wrong with that. So, you know, there's a possibility that Lamech didn't know Adam personally. But he could have. They could be living in the same house, and all the kids could be moving away someplace. Okay, they could have like a 9-story house with one person. Every time they have a new generation, they stick a new story on top of the house. You know that God placed a lot of emphasis on it. Read into what man thing I think would be to read. We don't know what the, you know, in the ancient, the biblical times, at this particular time, yeah, you could be completely correct. And we also know that Cain took and fathered others' wives. So there was this, understand that there was people that was not in this particular line that weren't out there. They were replenishing us. Cain's line was out there being replenished too. We'll hear about that. We'll get to that a little bit later on. Enoch. No. Yeah. Well, he may not die until Revelation. Doesn't matter. He was born with sin. He had Adam's blood, did he not? Is any man born sinless? And like Mike said, the wages of sin is death, correct? We all have a sin debt to be paid. It was given to man to die once, and then the judgment. I didn't quote that immediately, but y'all get the idea of it. So man has to die. Is the death of Enoch, is he one of the is he the one of those prophets in Revelation time which dies at the temple. Possibility. Amazing how this stuff ties into each other, doesn't it? Yeah, Revelation. Possibility. Do you have to be sinless? Have to be sinless for God to use your faith. He was not faithless. He was not sinless, but he's also not faithless. Understand, David was not sinless, right? David was a sinful man, but he had a heart after God. He was faithful. Was Paul a sinful man? But he was faithful in what he did. God's not looking for perfect men. He knows we're not perfect out there. There's no man out there that's perfect, is there? But what he's looking for is our faith. By faith. Hebrews is real strict on that, right? Not by your works, but by faith. Paul is real strict on that, right? It's not by the works that man gets to God, it's through faith. Faith in the finished work of the cross. Anybody, maybe Enoch was the first person put into paradise. I don't know where Enoch is at this time. Mike, to your thing, that says that whenever the people, the Old Testament saint, were in Abraham's bosom, right? Abraham's not around yet. So where's Enoch at? We don't know. Yes, was it? We want to think it does, but can we prove that? Is there anything in the Bible that says that? So where was Enoch? That one sprouted in my mind. Wait a second. Where was Enoch during this time? Well, we know he couldn't be in heaven because there couldn't. Even the Old Testament saints had to be in paradise or in Abraham's bosom until the price was paid on the cross. No. And that goes back to Mike saying, well, evidently Methuselah wasn't the oldest person in the Bible. Isn't it amazing how we can think about all these sort of things? That's true. And it's amazing how it sprouts in our minds. But the most important thing for us is not to let these winds sprout in our minds go forth and become fact unless we put the Bible. Understand, God does not tell us everything. Tells us what we need to know. Let me ask you a question. If you come in, you want your car fixed. I can sit down and I can tell you exactly how I fixed your car, or how I'm going to fix your car and everything like that. Do you want to hear all that? No, you just want to say, fix it and tell me how much money it's going to cost me. But first, tell me how much money it costs me, and if I say okay, then fix it. Okay? When you come to somebody and they say to you, well, how do you feel today? They say, well, last night my stomach was a little messed up and I had to get up and go to the bathroom too much. You want to hear all that? No, you don't. It's a greeting. You say to them, how are you doing today? I'm doing okay. That's what you want to hear. God tells us what we need to know, not what we want to know. And it's, you had to study to show yourself approved. Oh, yeah, there's all kinds of meanings and names and everything like that. I chose not to delve that deep off into this. That could that could make a thing that goes on forever, and I'm not trying to get off into that. I'm just doing a basic overview of it, hitting things that I think that are most important. You could do a word study on the name of God. It will last years and years. Try and delve into the different names of gods and what God and what they all mean. I'm trying not to. Beneficial, but I just don't feel it as well. I really didn't think we were going to spend this much time on the names and genealogy, but it's important. I understand it's most important that we can converse about this sort of stuff. Because, like Mike said, you know, not the oldest person. You think about these. Have you ever read something? You've been hearing something? And all of a sudden, something pops into your mind. You're like, I just got to get this out. I got to say, I think other people can. And he says it to you, and then something else pops into your mind. It's got spontaneous. And we take it away. I think that's the way the Holy Spirit is. How many times have you read some scripture? You may have read it 10 times. The 11th time, you get something different going on. Maybe you read something over here, and then it goes back into this one. Wait a second. That says this, then this must be this. Because there's going to be a scripture coming up in the next thing, and it says man's life is 120 years. Does that mean a man are relegated to 120 years over to that time? I actually think you're misunderstanding. Number 120 years. We'll talk about a little more about that next year. Next week. But no, we're not going to last a whole year in the genealogies. We could probably do that if we really wanted to. We'll speculate all day long. We'll talk about a little more of that next week. But understand, when it says, I'll just give you an idea of that, when it says this 120 years, it's talking about the time coming up to the flood and the man. But we look into our lifetime after that particular point in time. How did Moses live today? Moses? Spent 40 years in Egypt. Spent 40 years in the wilderness. Or 40 years in the wilderness. But he couldn't go into Promised Land because that's the wrong. And that's 120 years, right? So you could read off into different things, but if you read off into this, it says, and we'll talk about it. I don't want to get off into my glory for next week, but this has to do more, this 120 years right here has to do more of knowing when the flood's coming. But if we don't read and study our Bible carefully, we could misunderstand what that means. Follow me? Okay. Anybody got anything else? Yes, sir. Yeah. Well, you know, I think we could have been named Wesley and just waiting for the right woman. I think the earliest one on the whole list was 65 years, if I'm not mistaken. I'd have to go back through it, but I think one of them was 65 years. Yeah, Mahaliel, 65 years, and he fathered Jared. Most of them were 75, 90, 110, 120 years, 105 years before they fathered. Now, the question is, we're reading into something here now. The question is this. Could they have had children before that, but these are the ones that God chose to work through? Or could this have been their first children and God held off on having them have any children until this particular children going to born. It could be either one. We know that they had children after this, with the exception of Noah, because they don't say that Noah had. In fact, when Noah goes in the ark, he has his wife, his sons, their wives. So, but it doesn't say that they didn't have children before these people were born, but it also doesn't say they did. No, Adam and Eve had a child before Seth. And we know when Cain was kicked out of the garden, or not got a garden, but kicked out of, put away, made to go become a wanderer, we know that he made a city, and we know he had wives, so the wives had to come from somewhere, right? Interesting idea. I just can't tell you for sure whether they had children before or not. Anybody got anything else? Get up and make the bed every morning. Sweep the stoop every day. Go to work and boil in the ground food. Long time. But again, you got to realize that it's not the same world. And understand, you think about dinosaurs were amphibians. You understand that an alligator's our biggest amphibian. Alligator crocodiles are biggest. Right? You know, they never stop growing as long as they live. So the longer an alligator or crocodile lives, the bigger it gets. So if we see a 30-year-old crocodile or alligator out there, that thing might be 16 foot long. Imagine the size they would grow to if they never stopped growing. Imagine an earth that has water above and water below and mist that seeps down thing, almost like a rainforest-type environment, which is perfect for stuff growing. We can't even say that we have the same environment that we have. How thinking about it can broaden your mind, or you'll have to, again, you have to watch what you hang your hat on, because it has to be proven. You can think anything you want, but if you're going to propagate out, you're going to teach it. So, anybody got anything else? Okay, I think we beat this death today. Knowledge I didn't think was going to last all day, but it did. And we're going to introduce a man named Noah next week and talk a little bit about him. John, would you close this morning, please, sir?